Welcome to the Coaster Geeks Podcast. Is your favorite the Beast, Millennium Force, or Lightning Rod? Whether it's an old Woody, a steel Giga Coaster, or a hybrid, we will chat about it here. Each summer, Robert and Michelle Forto travel the country and search for the best roller coasters. Sit back and enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Coaster Geeks Podcast. I'm Robert.
I'm Michelle.
Today we're going to talk about our visit to King's Dominion. When I lived in Virginia, we used to go to King's Dominion all the time. It was only about an hour south of our place in Lake Ridge, and it was good to go down for the day, ride the Grizzly, and head home. Back in those days, the mid-1980s, Hanna-Barbera ran the joint, and there was a lot of Fred Flintstone and Barney Rubble influences. On this trip, we stayed the night at the hotel about 12 miles north of the theme park and hit the sack early to rest up for the next day of coasters. It was Monday and Memorial Day when we drove up to the parking lot. We weren't the first in line like the day before at Busch Gardens, but we were close. We paid our parking fee and headed to the spot close to the gate. We had to wait in line for about an hour before the gates opened. During that time, Whitney Houston belted out an awesome rendition of the Star Spangled Banner, and everyone turned toward the flags, removed their caps, and placed their hand over their hearts. We paid our $100 plus the extra fee for the fast lane pass and entered the park. The first thing you see when you enter the park is the large pools and fountains and all the shops and restaurants that line the promenade as you make your way towards the Eiffel Tower. The Eiffel Tower at King's Dominion is a scale replica of the original, and I have been going up to the top since I was a kid. Up here, you get a great vantage point of how the park is laid out, and you can see if any of the rides are closed. Since we were one of the first people in the park, we had to wait in line behind a barrier right as you entered Planet Snoopy. Remember I said that Fred and Barney used to roam these streets? Now it's just Snoopy, Lucy, Charlie, and the gang. I have always loved the Peanuts, and so has Michelle. We even bought a little Snoopy for our soon-to-be grandson, Simon, who would arrive just 2 days after the return from this trip. As we usually do, we'll do a recap and describe the coasters, and then Michelle and I will give our experiences. Sit back and enjoy. First up is Volcano. When we visited this park, Volcano was still in operation. Sadly, it closed this year, 2019, but for history's sake, we'll still talk about it. Soar at speeds of up to 60 miles per hour in the heart of darkness, and then rocket 155 feet straight up and out of the top of the crater through a spectacular sidewinder inversion, head-spinning, heart-pounding fashion. The coaster is located in Safari Village. It lasts a minute and 10 seconds. The height requirements are 54 inches. It's an Intamin coaster with top speeds of 60-plus miles an hour.
You know, Robert, at the height requirement of 54 inches, it's a tight squeeze for me since I'm only 60 inches tall. Volcano is one of the most popular thrill rides at King's Dominion. It debuted as the world's first inverted linear motor-launched LIM roller coaster with tallest inversion. Considered the quintessential thrill-seeking experience by roller coaster enthusiasts. Only roller coaster in the world to shoot riders straight out of a raging volcano.
A little bit about our experience. I'll go first. Oh my God! This was the first roller coaster of the morning and it was a blast, literally. We had to wait in line a long time, but as we sat down in the car and buckled ourselves in, we soon realized we were in for quite a ride. The train shot off like a rocket and soon we were inside the cauldron of the volcano. Before you know it, we were flipped upside down and shot straight up again out of the mountain. The rest of the ride is a dizzying array of flips and sharp turns. It's only 70 seconds long, and you're holding on for dear life. Michelle?
I'd say, for sure, this was my kind of coaster. Remember I said I am short, just 60 inches tall. There's no bottom to this one, so your feet get to dangle, which makes it feel more like you are flying. This coaster lived up to its name and thrill. I jumped up onto the seat, literally, pulled the harness down over my shoulders, grabbed Robert's hand, and said, "Are you ready?" He didn't hear me. Robert doesn't usually care for these rides that don't have any bottoms. No matter, we were off. Volcano starts off with an inversion and twists you around the inside of the volcano, then all of a sudden shoots you straight up towards the sky, and then you spill out onto the side of the volcano into another inversion and a loop. I would have rode this one again. It was absolutely fantastic. It's too bad it's closed.
Next up is the Intimidator 305. Challenge the tallest, fastest, and most thrilling coaster on the East Coast. The 300-foot-tall drop at high speeds, twists, and turns deliver a thrilling experience you'll remember for a long, long time. This coaster is located in Safari Village. It's a whopping 3 minutes long with a height requirement of 54 inches. It's an Intamin coaster with a top speed of 90 miles an hour.
It's the tallest, fastest, and most thrilling roller coaster on the East Coast. The ride stands 305 feet at its highest point with a first drop of 300 feet at an 85-degree angle. Roller coaster enthusiasts rave about the ride's high-speed twists and turns. It was voted Best New Roller Coaster of 2010 by Amusement Today. There's a great photo opportunities of the ride are available from the top of the Eiffel Tower.
As we stood in line for Volcano, we could see the red track that reached high into the air. That would be the fastest roller coaster I've been on in my life. As you walk up to the train, you see all the Dale Earnhardt NASCAR references, and it looked pretty fast from the ground, but just wait. The ride starts by taking the train straight up 305 feet, the tallest coaster I've ever been on. The next 2.5 minutes are pure speed that any adrenaline junkie would crave. I barely caught my breath by the time the ride was done. I looked over at Michelle, and she looked like she was scared to death.
As we walked past Dale Earnhardt's replica car and saw all of the propaganda for NASCAR, I thought to myself, okay, NASCAR, I'd like to take a spin around the track, get the car up to 200 miles per hour, but I'd be in control. On this, you're not in control. Robert and I get in the car. Immediately, I knew this was going to be what I'd later refer to as a concussion ride. I'm 5'1" and I weigh 180 pounds. I'm a short, chubby chick. The car's overhead harness came down and clicked. Then the attendant comes by and clips the seat belt and pushes the bar down until he hears it click three more times. Really, dude? I have boobs and now I cannot breathe. No matter, my eyes were definitely going to be closed for this ride. One deep breath. We start the 305-foot climb. I manage to take a quick look around to see the direction of the first turn, and unlike Griffon at Busch Gardens, I didn't get a chance to count. We were off and turning and head thrashing so fast, I was blown away, literally. It comes to a hard stop, and it's all I can do to wait my turn to get out. I was having a literal panic attack to get off because I couldn't breathe and I felt trapped. Not a good combo.
Next up is Anaconda. Get wrapped up in the coils and be prepared to drop 144 feet into the depths of Anaconda. You'll be rocketed through 2,700 feet of track at speeds of up to 50 miles an hour through an underwater tunnel, vertical loops, sharp twists and turns. This coaster is located in Safari Village. It lasts about a minute and 50 seconds. The height requirements are only 48 inches. This is an old aerodynamics coaster, and as I said, speeds of up to 50 miles an hour.
It says this one's a longtime favorite of park visitors and roller coaster enthusiasts alike. Anaconda was the first looping roller coaster in the world to feature an underwater tunnel. Riders are sent through a 360-degree vertical loop after exiting the underwater tunnel, one of the most popular photographed rides at King's Dominion.
This was our third coaster in a row with barely a second between each to catch our breath. All three coasters, Volcano, Intimidator, and Anaconda, are within a few hundred feet of each other. This green monster was around when I used to come here as a kid. I don't remember until I got on the train and took a look down the track. By today's standards, this coaster could be considered an ancient relic. The old school cars and safety harnesses leave much to be desired, and this is what I would call a true headbanger. You are truly getting knocked around from side to side as you twist and turn. Don't get me wrong, this was an awesome coaster. It really does feel like you're a slithering snake on his way to constrict and crush its prey. It's an oldie but goodie and should not be missed on your trip to the King.
Holy Mother of God! We take the fast track from the Intimidator to Anaconda and immediately get placed into a car. I could barely walk from the Intimidator, and now this? Okay. It goes under the lake at some point, I noticed as we were walking up, but from where we were, it doesn't look like a tunnel. The water splashes up. I try to talk our way out of this one for now. Don't want to get wet this early, do you, honey? We are going to get wet. Let's go. We get into the seats again. I get squeezed. The harness comes over my shoulders, but it's too high. It doesn't rest on my shoulders. Uh-oh. I know my head is going to get banged up, so I try to pin my head to one side, unsuccessfully. This is old school corkscrew inversions, not the smooth, longer ones they have on newer coasters. This fast-moving snake thrashed my head on the right side like I was Pacquiao to his Mayweather. The tunnel was a disappointment, too. I got off with a sigh of relief, knowing we'd be going on a baby ride next. Or so I thought.
Next up is the Backlot Stunt Coaster. Experience what it's like to be a stunt car driver as your car races around the track and is transported into the stunt chase sequence. This coaster is located in Safari Village. It lasts 2 minutes. Height requirement at 48 inches. It's brought to you by Premier Rides with a speed of 40 miles an hour.
A roller coaster that families enjoy riding together. Non-stop action from start to finish with a series of twists, turns, and drops. A favorite of young teens. There's also sirens, horns, loud music, and all kinds of lights going on all at once.
Fourth coaster in a row, and Michelle paid the price. All of these coasters are within a couple of hundred feet of each other. When I looked at the description of this coaster, I must have read it wrong because I told Michelle, "This is a kiddie coaster. It's slow, and look at that train. They look like little cars." Boy, were we wrong. We decided to sit in the front since we thought we were on some kiddie ride. The train shoots you down the track and immediately around two or three very sharp turns. The story of this ride is you're supposed to be in a high-speed chase from the cops in Los Angeles. It feels like it. As you enter the tunnel and into the dark, you are zooming. As you fly out of the tunnel and back into the sunlight, you have just a second to catch your breath before coming to a quick stop. I knew Michelle was in trouble as soon as we got off the train. She looked sick. Having done four massive coasters in a row, I knew she was going to have some trouble. As we sat down at the bench to catch our breath, Michelle had to run to the restroom and throw up. When she came back, the entire park stopped in its tracks for a moment in silence for Memorial Day. I have never in my life seen thousands of people stop dead in their tracks. Workers came out of the stores and restaurants and their rides stopped. They played God Bless America over the park's loudspeakers. It was an experience I will never forget.
It was absolutely beautiful and moving moment. But back to this coaster, right? So it said it was a level 5 coaster. I'll let Robert's description stand because I may have blacked out on this one. He did leave out that the cops are chasing you up into a parking lot garage and out into another one. You're climbing the parking garage turns that are only about 15 feet in diameter at 54 miles per hour.
Next up is Rebel Yell. Not the biggest, tallest, or fastest ride at King's Dominion, but certainly a ride with class that families enjoy riding together. Twin racing trains compete to the finish on this traditional out-and-back wooden roller coaster. This coaster is located in the Candy Grove area of King's Dominion. It's a 2-minute and 30-second ride. height requirements are 48 inches. It's from the Philadelphia Toboggan Company with a speed of 54 miles an hour.
It has an attraction that families enjoy riding together. Has given more rides than any attraction at King's Dominion. Name comes from the Rebel Yell, a battle cry used by Confederate soldiers during the American Civil War. The ride was featured in the 1977 movie Roller Coaster. The Rebel Yell received the American Coaster Enthusiast Landmark Award in 2003.
Back in the day, this coaster was one of my favorite in the park. It was a ride we always rode together, my brother Ryan, my dad, and I. Coming to this park as a party of three is never as much fun as even a group, but you always had a good time. Back then, they used to race the blue train against the red one on two parallel tracks. One of us would always ride in the other train, and we would place bets on which one would win. If my train won, we would get the candy apple. If Ryan's train won, we would get an ice cream. Today, they still run the two trains side by side, but one always seems to be much faster and is not much of a race anymore. It's still a super fun ride. By old school wooden coaster standards, this rickety old coaster still packs a punch.
Woo! Carousel and Ferris wheel to cool me off before the Rebel Yell. Although I am deathly afraid of the Ferris wheel, on to the Rebel Yell. I love wooden coasters. The sounds, smell, and that secret fear we all have. This coaster was built 20 plus years ago. Is today the day it comes down? I'd never seen a coaster like this one. Two separate twin tracks? What's up with that? Well, as Robert explained, they used to race. Too bad they don't anymore. This coaster was a lot of fun. I laughed my butt off, and even though we got bumped and bruised, hips and elbows, it was worth it. No over-the-head harness either. Next up is Ricochet. Families thoroughly enjoy this fast-paced, exciting attraction filled with unexpected twists, tight turns, and sudden drops. It's located in the Candy Apple Grove section of King's Dominion. Its duration is 3 minutes. The height requirement is 44 inches minimum. Between 44 and 54 inches must be accompanied by a supervising companion. It's made by Mack Rides, and its speed is just 35 miles per hour.
One of the most underrated rides at the park, an attraction that families always enjoy riding together. The ride features a surprisingly thrilling 50-foot drop. This little coaster is a blast. It used to be called Mighty Mouse, I think, back in the day. It's a fun little gem that runs along a flat track in a car of four. Your car gets whipped around and you feel like it when you're going to fly overboard at any minute.
Another ride that Robert tried to convince me was a baby ride. Not even close. I've never been on one of these mousetrap rides. That's what I call these ones, where the track is flat and you literally can see over the edge from your car and it makes you feel like you're going to get tipped out. This ride was fun and thrilling and much faster than expected. No, it's not hardcore like Anaconda, but it's not a baby ride either. It shouldn't be passed over, and these mousetrap rides have become one of my favorite thrills at all the parks we visit.
Next up is Hurler. Like Volcano, Hurler is no longer at the park. It was converted into a Rocky Mountain Construction hybrid coaster just last year. We haven't been back to King's Dominion to try out the new coaster, but for history's sake, we will talk about our thoughts on Hurler. Riders experience a non-stop action through 3,157 feet of track at speeds of up to 50 miles an hour through a series of wide, heavily banked turns, flat turns, hills, and humps on this old wooden coaster. It's located in the Candy Apple Grove area of King's Dominion. It lasts 2 minutes. Height requirements are 48 inches. It's manufactured by the International Coasters Incorporated with a speed of 50 miles an hour.
An attraction that families enjoy riding together. Great first big roller coaster for guests. a favorite of roller coaster enthusiasts. Series of hills and humps provide riders with an abundance of airtime.
This is another wooden coaster that I didn't expect to be so much fun. Michelle loved this one, and so did I. It felt like any minute the train was going to fly off the track. These wooden coasters all feel like that. The new age metal coasters of all varieties, from stand-up to floorless to swinging, all feel so much safer than the wooden ones that feel like they might derail.
Hurler! Hell yeah! This coaster was probably my favorite of our trip. For a wooden coaster, it is a long, thrilling ride. You do feel as if you're going to be thrown off the track or even out of your seat. You barely have time to think because you are laughing so hard. Isn't that the point? Some of the new coasters have lost this feature. It's all about speed and G-force turns. But I still like holding on to my boyfriend and making sure I stay in the car.
Next up is the Flight of Fear. Get ready for an adrenaline rush like no other when you catapult from 0 to 54 miles an hour in just 4 seconds on this heart-pounding adventure in total darkness through 4 inversions. This is located in Safari Village. It's a minute and 5 seconds long. Height requirements 54 inches. Built by Premier Rides with a speed of 54 miles an hour.
Oh, Flight of Fear features one of the most exciting accelerations of any roller coaster in the world. This ride was one of the first linear induction motor, LIM, launched coasters in the world. Park visitors and roller coaster enthusiasts alike rave about the smooth inversions. Early morning, when the park opens, is the best time to ride this popular attraction when the wait time is minimal.
This is another one of those holy crap moments on the roller coaster tour. On this tour, it was the first time I'd ever been on one of these indoor, in-the-dark coasters, except for Space Mountain at Disney World. This is not your grandpa's roller coaster. The Flight of Fear shoots you down the track from 0 to 54 miles an hour in just 4 seconds. It feels like your head just flew through the back of the car and is sitting in somebody else's lap. The next minute, you're in the dark and you're twisting and turning with just enough light to catch a glimpse of the track around you. This ride was a blast.
We walk up to what looks like a hangar. We were told about this coaster while on the White Water ride at Busch Gardens. A guy about our age with his wife and daughter overheard us talking about our trip and said, "You're going to King's Dominion. You gotta ride the Flight of Fear. It's underground." What? Underground? I've never heard of anything like this. I didn't ride Space Mountain. I was too short and too young when it was first out. This ride was on our fast track, so we quickly went to the front and waited to load just one car in front of us. I looked around and you see aliens or sea creatures from the Black Lagoon in these tubes with water, colored lights and bubbles, right up Robert's alley. He loves Halloween, as you rabid listeners are aware. We sit in the seat, harness over our head, but it's not as tight. I can move a little, but I feel secure. There's a lap bar, too. Immediately at first click, your head is thrown straight back as Robert described. I have my eyes open the entire time, but I'm fixated on the laser light show, and my eyes keep catching the purple lights. They light up just as the coaster makes a new twist or turn. There were so many inversions and at least one loop. It was a fast, heart-pounding thrill ride. The ride is over in a good amount of time. As we came to a stop, I did forget that there were children on the ride, 13-year-old boys in front of us, and I said louder than I realized, "Holy shit!" Well, they got off laughing at the chubby chick that I'm sure they thought was too old for the ride.
Next up is Avalanche. Experience what it's like to be a member of an Olympic bobsled team as your sled races out onto the track and through high speed twists and turns to the finish. Located in Safari Village, a minute and 30 seconds, 40 inches minimum. Between 40 and 46 inches, you must be accompanied by a supervising companion. It's manufactured by Mack Rides and it's 30 miles an hour.
Experience what it's like to be a member of an Olympic bobsled team as your sled races out onto the track through high-speed twists and turns to the finish.
This old-school coaster is still one of my favorites. It's tucked away near a volcano. I remember riding it when I was a kid and how much fun we used to have. We almost didn't go on it, but we knew we had some time and it was on the fast lane, so why not? You sit in the car, two people each. Michelle sat in front of me in the same car, leaning against my chest. The story of the ride is it's like a bobsled, and it really feels like you're on the ice. This coaster doesn't have a track, but more like a slope floor that is designed to mimic the ice track of the Olympics. It's a fun ride for the whole family.
This is the kind of baby ride I like to go on in between rides like the Flight of Fear. Avalanche was a fun ride. The track throws you off onto the luge-type track, and you fly literally around until you catch the small piece of track that thrusts you along again. Super fun. It's a great date coaster.
Next up is Dominator. Scream through five inversions at speeds of 67 miles an hour on the longest floorless steel track coaster in the world, including one of the largest vertical loops in the world. It's located in International Street of the Park. It's 2 minutes and 6 seconds long. Height requirements of 54 inches. It's a B&M coaster with 67 mile an hour speeds.
A favorite among park visitors and roller coaster enthusiasts alike. Gut-wrenching nonstop action from start to finish. Holds the world record as the longest floorless coaster at 4,210 feet. Great ride experiences delivered in the front, middle, and back rows of the train.
Why not save the best for last? We decided when we got here early in the day that we would end the day and the roller coaster tour with the Dominator. It is the longest floorless coaster in the world with one of the highest vertical loops. We took a ride to the top of the Eiffel Tower to get a glimpse of this beauty before we headed over to ride. The Dominator was on the fast lane pass, so we practically walked up and jumped on the train. The next 2 minutes is sheer fun. The coaster has just the right amount of speed, flips and turns to make an exciting ride. I'm glad we saved it for the last one.
I said before, I like the floorless coasters. This one did not disappoint. I had to put Snoopy in the box next to the ride for safety precautions. Jumped up onto the seat, literally. This is one of the older floorless models with the bicycle seat style. Harness over my head and I'm ready to go. This ride is just like Mind Eraser at Six Flags Green America, and I rode it by accident while I was pregnant with our son Kyle in 1991. Explains why he doesn't really care for coasters. The Dominator did not disappoint. A great ride and a great trip.
Other rides at the park. We were warned that one thing to avoid at Kings Island is the high price of food. They were right. I got us two slices of pizza and a drink, and it practically wiped out my cash. We did ride some other rides. One of the highlights was the Americana Ferris wheel. The attendant promised us at least two rotations. We were on it for seven. The log flume is old school and fun. It got us just wet enough where we didn't have to worry about soaked shoes, and it cooled us off in the 90-degree heat. What I missed most about the day was not being able to ride Grizzly. I had looked forward to riding this ride since we started making plans for this roller coaster tour. We went back three times and it was still closed.
We were in line for the shockwave when some guy passed out and fell to the floor right as he was about to get on the train. It was so hot that day, and the line was long for this coaster. No fast lane pass. The guy that passed out was huge, at least 6'5" and 250 pounds. They closed the ride, and we decided not to wait. The carousel is always one of my favorites. It's fun to watch the smile on the little kids' faces as they experience the magic.
As I said before, you cannot go to Kings and not go to the top of the Eiffel Tower. We went to the top to take some pictures and get a good layout of the land. Michelle kept her back firmly against the wall and did not want to get close to the edge. We talked to the young man up there and asked him how he got this gig standing on a platform hundreds of feet in the air. He said he tried out for the band but didn't get picked and they stuck him up here. He said he didn't mind though. He liked seeing the park from this high and promised he would try out for the band next year.
The Bandit Kings is a group of teens that are dressed up like clowns and romp around the park playing their instruments. They are all very good and put on a heck of a show.
King's Dominion was awesome. I love this park. It was so fun to relive all those days from my childhood coming here. I can't believe it's been almost 30 years. I remember back in the day when they still had shows on the big lake with people on water skis and big elaborate concerts in the park, including big 80s pop stars like Tiffany and Joan Jett. Theme parks have changed a lot since I was a little kid. Today, all of them, it seems, are trying to outdo each other and pack in as many roller coasters and extreme thrill rides that they can. While Busch Gardens is a much more scenic park, King's Dominion reminds me of that working man's blue-collar type of a good time. It still has that old-school feel, but not the stuffiness of Disney or Epcot. It was a great day and tons of fun.
As we left the park, we knew we had a long drive ahead of us that would take us through three states. Our next trip would be Gettysburg on this road trip, our inaugural rock and roller coaster tour across America. If you would like to find out more, Robert and I urge you to follow us on social media. Just search for Coaster Geeks Podcasts and read more about our trips, including the rock portion of our tours, by visiting robertforto.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time on The Coaster Geeks.